We're going to kind of get things started off slow so we can get everybody a chance to join us this evening. And I've literally invited everybody on my whole connection page and my entire life with emails to join us tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and just kind of get this going. And look, it blew up. And light the candle and... It won't be. It won't be per se candlelight service, per se, because if I did a candlelight service, it'd be dark here. You only see a dark screen. But going to be singing for you this evening and sharing with you some stuff and. I'm getting emails that people can see me but can't hear me. If you can hear me, go ahead and text me and let me know that, hey, we're up and running before we start officially.
We are up and running, but we're just not. We have a program, remember, on Station 1 and Station 2. So you're just on video. You're on video on Facebook, and you're on video on BBS Radio.
Okay, so you need to be on the video site on BBS Radio, and that's on the TV screen. So you go to the TV screen and hit that, and then live, and it ought to be right there.
Correct.
So I'm not going to be on the radio side.
Yes, correct. You won't be on the radio side.
Okay, which is fine, because we want audio and video tonight. So I'm going to turn my phone off to where I can't get anything, but hopefully... keep playing around in there and you'll be able to get on and just welcome to the program tonight. I want to share with you a couple things. Also, first of all, I want to let you know if you have your communion stuff ready to go. If not, go ahead and get that for the family. We will be taking communion tonight, probably towards the end of the service. I want to let you know this is the first time ever that I have in my ministry not been in church to experience Good Friday together in church. But I want to let you know that we're experiencing Good Friday with the church this way tonight. So it's not going to be a disappointment. The church is just a building. We are all here tonight in numbers. So thank you for joining. And just sit back. I want you to grab your Bible too. I do want to let it be known before we go too far, then I'm going to go right into this with some scripture, that Jason Perez, I just got off the phone with Jason. He does not, his COVID-19 test came back yesterday and they were negative. So praise the Lord that we thought he was positive, but he's negative, and him and his family's listening in tonight and watching tonight. So praise the Lord for that. And Jason, we're thinking of you, even though he has strep throat. That's what he was praying for. In between the two, he would prefer to have strep throat instead of COVID. So praise the Lord for that. So keep praying for our people that's on our prayer list. I want to start off with some scriptures. So write these down if you don't have your Bible with you. But in Isaiah 53:5, it says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes, we are healed." Awesome. Awesome verses. Romans 8:32. "He who did not spare his own son." Listen to how all these tie in to Good Friday. "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Then 1 Peter 2:24. "He himself our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. But his wounds you have been healed." Mark 10:45. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but the Son of Man came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." On the ninth hour, Matthew 27:48. On the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then John 19, 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said those three words that mean so much to us today. It is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. If I had seen the sunset on the day that Jesus died and felt the glow of the sunrise, when the tomb was open wide, would I have known you? Could I were more than just a man, you were Lord and King, but now I know you, and Jesus, Lord, to me. I love that song. Love that song. We're going to sing several others. A couple of these you're going to be able to join in and be part of because you're going to know them. So hang with me. The music's falling off. I hope I'm not tearing up your microphone. And
you mind if I just break in here just a bit? You might want to reposition the microphone. The audio is not quite coming in clearly.
Okay. I don't know where that's at. That's why I wanted to do a sound check before we... Okay, was the piano too loud? Or?
Play the piano maybe a little bit. That sounds a lot better.
Okay, I didn't do much. Okay. Yep. We'll do this over here. Let's try it. I like this one. And listen to the words of this. Because this is what it's all about. That... Jesus was in heaven. His Father sent him to this earth to die for us. And because of that, he's the one that ought to be worshiped right now. He died for all of our sins. He took all of that pain and that guilt and the sins that we had and was deserving of. And because of that, He is Lord of all, above all. Above all powers. Above all kings, above all nature, and all created things, above all wisdom, and all the ways of man, you were here before the world. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth. There's no way to measure your worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose. Trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all power, above all kings, above all nature, and all created things, above all wisdom, all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Of all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders this world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth. no way to measure your worth. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived, died, rejected, alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall. Thought of me above all. Crucified, lay behind the stone. Believed to die, rejected and alone, like a rose, trampled on the ground, took the fall, and thought of me above all, like a rose, trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. This is my favorite Easter song, Good Friday song. It all changed the day that he wore my crown. City was Jerusalem. The time was long ago. The people called him Jesus. The crime was the love he showed, and I'm the one to blame. I caused all his pain. He gave himself. The day he wore my crown, he brought me love that only he could give. I brought him cause to cry. Though he taught me how to live, I taught him how to die. And I caused all his pain. Himself the day wore my crown. He took upon his holy father and said, take me away, please take me away. He could have said, I'm not guilty. And I'm not going to stay. And I'm not going to pay. And he walked right through those gates and then on up the hill. And as he fell beneath the weight, he cried, Father, not my will, I'm the one to blame. I caused all of his pain. He gave himself the day he wore my crown. And I'm the one to blame. I caused all his pain. He gave himself the day wore my That day meant everything. That day took everything. And at this moment in history, in the world, at that point, it was the turning point. It was the face-off between evil and good. And it was a face-off between God and the devil. And they were having it out. And when Jesus Christ came to this world to step into our place for the sin that we deserve to die for, it meant everything. It changed history. Now, when you look at this and you say, Good Friday, good. Jesus died on this day. But the good is because of his death, we get to experience Easter. We get to experience victory. We get the access into heaven because of what he's done for us. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But you know, when I go through every day at Baylor College of Medicine, Texas Children's Hospital, you go to work, and I'm still working. I'm one of the few that's still going through. Every morning when you park your car and you have to go down to a certain section, and you have to go through the questions that they have for you. And the questions, I don't have them all, but the question is something like this. The nurse will look at you and she'll say, have you been more than 150 miles in the last so many days? And you have to answer that question. Have you been around anyone that has known, that you know of, that has had this virus, COVID-19 virus? And you have to answer that question. And then they ask, do you have any symptoms? Cough, temperature, things of that order, having difficulty breathing. And you have to answer that question. And then they take your temperature with a little gun on your forehead. And then if you pass all of those answers correctly, they give you this little band. And it changes colors every day. And today it was blue. So they put this band, they hand you this band, and you put it on. This gives me access to be able to walk right through now, security, all the people that are on guard watching to see, make sure nobody enters into that hospital without this. Without this, I have no access into the place that I have been destined to be in, that my purpose for that day is to be there. I would not be able to be entered. I would not be able to enter in. In the same kind of context, when you kind of look at this, and I was thinking about that going up in the elevator today, I'm thinking, you know, this is a perfect illustration of Good Friday, of Easter, of Jesus dying for us. And I didn't make up the questions, but the questions could go something like this. Have you ever made any mistakes in your life? Have you ever sinned? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever asked Jesus to come into your heart? Now, those three questions, if you don't have the answers for and have never answered, you don't get the entrance to be able to get into heaven. There's several famous stories like this, but of a young man asking a famous pastor, hey, pastor, what do I have to do to get into heaven? And the pastor looks back at him and says, son, it's too late. He said, what do you mean it's too late? What do I have to do to get into heaven? And he said, it's too late. He said, I don't understand. He said, you don't have to do anything. It's already been done. And that's what's so great about what this weekend represents. It's already been done for us. All we have to do is answer the questions from our heart in the right way of, yes, I know I've sinned. And yes, I know that Jesus died on what this day represents for me. And yes, I want him to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. At that point, we get the access into heaven. Now, before we sing a couple more songs, I want you to get your Bibles out if you got them. I hope you do, because we're going to read a little bit of scripture. But I want to kind of show you something with this access ability to be able to get into heaven. So I want you to get into your Bibles. Turn to the book of Mark, I believe, where we're going to be at. I figured you probably thought we was going to Matthew, but let's do Mark tonight. I can find it. Mark is in my Bible. Yay! The book of Mark, I hope you read your little homework last week and you did each chapter all the way through. So today you probably read about the crucifixion. But we're going to shift gears a little bit. because I want you to see these verses. Well, Mark 15, the first section of Mark 15 is talking about Jesus going before Pilate. But let's jump down to verse 15, because we know the story about Jesus and him going through all of these different court scenarios, and it didn't go well, and they were all illegal and just crazy things in the middle of the night that was so wrong. But in Mark 15:15, that sounds like a good place to start. I just want to read some of these scriptures and really get up to the main scripture that I want to get to tonight. If you're there, I can't hear you anyway, but we always say, oh, yeah. Mark 15:15 goes like this. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas, and he delivered Jesus after he had been scourged to be crucified. The soldiers led him away to the hall called Praetorium, and they called together another garrison. And they clothed him with purple, and they twisted a crown of thorns. They put it on his head, and they began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! Then they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him. And bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they mocked him, they took the purple off him and put his own clothes on him, and they led him out to crucify. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon, Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by to bear his cross, they brought him to the place of Golgotha, which is translated place of the skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he didn't take it. When they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take him. Now it was the third hour that they crucified him, and the inscription of his accusations was written above him, the King of the Jews. With him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right and the other on his left, so the scripture was fulfilled, another prophecy being fulfilled from the Old Testament, which is said he was numbered with the transgressors. Verse 29, and those who passed by blaspheming him, wagging their heads and saying, aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down off the cross. And likewise, the chief priest also mocking among themselves with the scribes said, he saved others himself. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified him rivaled him. Now, when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by, when they heard that, said, look, he's calling on Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed and offered him to drink it. Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come and take him down off the cross. And Jesus cried with a loud voice. Watch this. And breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood opposite him saw that, he cried out like this and breathed his last. He said, truly, this man was a son of God. I want you to catch that verse. That verse 47 and 48. Third 38. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to bottom. Now you got to remember, back in those days, in the temple, between one section and the Holy of Holies, where they honestly thought God lived, God's presence was existing there. They had this huge veil, this huge curtain that was so thick that it couldn't be ripped by mankind. But it was this huge, and it covered it. It separated the priest from the presence of God. When he cried out with that loud voice at that last part, that veil that was between the two of them, literally from top to bottom, literally just ripped in half. And that symbolized the access that we have this evening to Jesus Christ himself, to God. If we believe in Jesus, we have access to the Father. He was the bridge from the old to the new. He's the new covenant. We have access to the presence of God right now because the veil has been torn. And the significance of it being torn from top to bottom was there was no way that it happened for man to be able to do it from the bottom to top. It was God himself putting his finger on it and saying, because of my son's death, now you have access to me. That means you don't need a chubby preacher to come to talk to and confess your sins. You don't need to get behind the closed door with the screen and say, Father, forgive me, I have sinned. And he'll tell you how many Hail Marys you need to give. You have straight access to him. That was the symbolism of the veil being torn. Now, can you imagine, and it doesn't say this in Scripture, but can you imagine what took place the day after this? The day after Jesus had died? The day after the veil was torn, Scripture doesn't tell us what the Jews did. But chances are they either replaced that veil or they got together and started trying to sew it back together so the separation was still there. Because they didn't acknowledge that he was the pathway, that he was the true one to take them to God himself. He was the sacrifice for all of our sins. And the sad thing is that as sad as watching all of that, those group of people get on the floor and try to sew back this huge veil to put it back in place to represent where God was still at, and that they were still separated from him. Sometimes we do exactly the same thing in our life. We do exactly the same thing. We acknowledge that there's a God. We acknowledge that there's a higher power. Or we acknowledge that there's a presence of unknown being that gives me vibes and vibrations and different feelings. When God on this day, what this day symbolizes, says, hey, let me wipe all of that off your plate. Let me show you what this death consisted of was a doorway into my presence that we didn't deserve, but he gave it to us. What do we do in our own personal lives? We try to sew a veil between us and God. How do we do that? Christians even do this. When we put the church, the work of the church, before our worship to God, when we put anything before God, we stitch another stitch in that veil. Another way is we sew up the veil when we stop reaching out and inviting people in, and we just expect people to come. That access isn't for them, isn't for us. We're just going to play the game, and we try to get that separation again. Another way we try to sew the veil up is we don't communicate with God ourselves. We use him as a simple 911 call. Only when we are hurting, only when we're sad, only when things like this is happening in the world, oh, I'm calling on God. I got a feeling that revival is going to break out because of all this junk that's going on. There's going to be more people online tonight and Sunday than probably in the history of the church. More people watching and hearing God's word. And we need to start communicating with him every day. Because one thing this has taught me in the last few weeks is those things that we took for granted of just stopping in a store and running in and having a nice meal at Cracker Barrel with your friends or family or whatever. Those days aren't there right now. We take all that stuff for granted. How many of us take for granted our relationship with God? And when we stop communicating and have a relationship with Jesus, we're putting a veil between us and him. Another way is when our actions don't reflect our God. When we say one thing but do another. We act one way at one place but don't live it at another. It's causing that division. Does any of that ring true to you? You know, a lot of people look at the cross as being something of beauty and being something that is all really nice. And I even put on, I don't wear necklaces, but even, you know, we wear these nice, fancy gold crosses around our neck, symbolizing we believe. I'm going to let you know, the cross wasn't something pretty. The cross was something that was to be endured. The cross symbolized, back in those days, criminal activity. The cross symbolized, and it still should symbolize today, the worst possible punishment that can be put on any human being in the history of mankind. It was the worst possible. That's what it symbolizes. One of the boss's days last year, the people in one of the groups that I supervise got me a card, Happy Boss's Day. And then they got me this. I don't know if you've ever seen these or not, but these are called stress crosses. And when you get stressed out, it has little indentions that you can put your fingers in and you can squeeze, and it's kind of a stress reliever. And when I hang on to it sometimes, I can feel the emotion or the anxiety of what's going on in the day to kind of ebb away. But I will let you know, it's not because of the piece of hard rubber, but it's because of me hanging on to what it symbolizes. And in our own life, we need to cling to him. We need to cling to what this day represents. We need to cling to needing something. Folks, we are all, everybody on this internet webcast tonight, and everybody in the world is in need of a Savior. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. And Jesus Christ was sent by his Father to pay for all of those sins, to have the weight of all of those sins on his back. Now, can you imagine right now, as we're going through this COVID-19, some of you are feeling isolated, right? Alone. And you're kind of feeling the anxiety of that loneliness. And in that loneliness, you feel pain. You feel depression. You feel anxious. You just want to get out. You want somebody to come visit. You want somebody to call, anything. But can you imagine the unbelievable isolation of what Jesus Christ endured on the cross at that one moment in time when he was hanging there? And sin, the weight of all sin of all mankind, was placed on his back. At that point, his Father could not look upon him. And it says he turned his head. At that point, that's when Jesus cried out, "Dad, where have you gone? Why have you forsaken me?" At that point, he was totally alone to pay the full cost of every one of those sins. That's what it was all about. And he knew it was coming. He knew the pain was going to be there. Because it says that he was in the garden praying, "Lord, if it's possible, whatever's getting ready to come up, can I bypass it? Because I know the loneliness, the pain, the hurt, the heartache, the crucifixion, my dad turning his head, the isolation, the betrayal, the denials, the mocking, the beatings. I know it's going to happen." But then he finally in that garden said, "Dad, Father, let your will be done." Come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God is closer. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet that the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy tarry. None of them has ever known. If you would, get your sacraments for communion. And I want to read real quickly. If you have time to partake of it. And please, don't get caught up on whether it's a cracker or a piece of bread, or it's what it symbolizes. Okay, so that's what we're after, what it symbolizes. It says in 1 Corinthians 11, therefore, when you come together in one place, I'm not for sure you thought that was going to be on the internet in year 2020, but we're all in one place because the church is gathered today. When you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and the other one is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? No, I'm not going to praise you in this. Then it says, for I received from the Lord that which I now deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It goes on in 1 Corinthians 11:25, and it says, in the same manner. Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. I wish it wasn't 5 till 9, because there's so much meat on that bone right there. The new covenant. This is the new way that I'm going to show my people that I love them and they can make it to heaven by believing in me through my blood. This is the new covenant, the new contract that we're celebrating tonight. That's why this is Good Friday. This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's what this day is all about. The love, the sacrifice, the prophecies all being fulfilled through this one man to die, lay down his life for you and for me. And all you have to do is to believe in him. Have you made that choice tonight? If not, I can't think of a better time to give your heart to Jesus Christ and said, I understand this. I understand this. Ask him to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and be your Lord and Savior. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to come to you tonight, and I thank you for the time to be able, the technology to be able to get everybody together around the United States and even around the world, Lord, to listen in tonight, to read the scriptures about your sacrifice for us, for you to have the love to lay down your life for somebody like me. I can't fathom that. I don't understand that. My mind can't wrap around all of that. But Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you did that for me and for each person that's listening tonight. Lord, let us have a realization, an understanding of what this night represents. May we not be like the disciples that very time when he was dying and going through the beatings and going through the trials, they all scattered. May we not be like that. May we stand firm, may we stand together, may we unite and say, we believe in you. And thank you for allowing that access into the very presence of God himself. And we get that through Jesus. Thank you for the night. Lord, keep people safe. Keep people safe. Safe physically, emotionally, spiritually. Lord, just put your arms around us, our families, this country, and this world as we go through something, Lord, that we never have gone through as a people. Or protect us. We give you all the glory. I can't wait till Easter Sunday morning to celebrate an empty tomb. That's what makes today Good Friday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Be right here, same place, at 10 o'clock Central Time, Sunday morning, Easter Sunday morning, and we're going to celebrate the celebration and the life of an empty grave. God bless you. Have an awesome night. We love you. Good night, y'all. God bless. Good seeing everybody.